Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We got another 25 minutes of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and then Dr. Alistair Begg will bring us a half an hour of excellent Bible teaching. So that's coming up all in the next hour here on this radio station, American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl is with us. Good morning, Steve Jordahl.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Walker, you're going to be in, you and Dan Celia are going to be in Columbus, Ohio, and that's tomorrow?
That's correct, tomorrow night.
And you guys are having an event, so all for you, are you Walker fans there in the Columbus, Ohio area? He's going to be there with Dan Celia. It's a financial town hall meeting, a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting. In other words, Dan Celia from Financial Issues is going to give a presentation and talk and answer questions about finances, the economy, and everything like that. And you're going to be there for us.
That's right. I'm just going to be welcoming folks.
Yeah.
And so the event is in Columbus, Ohio. The information to find out more about the event is afafoundation.net. AFAFoundation.net. On the homepage there, you can just click on the Faith Family Finance Town Hall Meetings, and then more information will be there.
Okay. So it's free to attend, but you have to register.
That's right.
Because seating is limited, right? Okay, so check that out. Crown Plaza Hotel. And then also I'll get Wesley to comment on this, but Dan Celia will be in Florence, Alabama, November the 7th with Wesley Wildman, and that's going to be at the Marriott Shoals Conference Center. Again, the evening of November the 7th. So check that out. Go to the website, AFA. What website, Walker?
AFAFoundation.net.
Okay, AFAFoundation.net. Or you can call if you want to register to come. Again, attend these events are free. We don't charge, but you have to sign up to come to these events, okay? So seating is limited. So 800 families and extension 345. 800 families, extension 345. That's 1-800-326-4543. Extension 345. Again, October 26th, 6:30 in Columbus, Ohio. Walker Wildman will be there with Dan Celia. And then Florence, Alabama at the Marriott Shoals Conference Center, November the 7th in the Florence, Alabama area. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Good morning, Steve Jordahl.
Good morning. That's free?
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. I'd pay to have dinner with Walker and Dan.
Dan Celia.
Well, that can be arranged, Steve.
Okay.
Right.
The way I operate is pay to play.
Pay to okay.
Why not good everybody else?
Putting
is
that out there.
Every organization has its politics. It's good to know how this one works.
you pay Walker, he gets you access.
Oh, okay.
To powerful people. I don't know who those powerful people are, but he'll get you access.
Okay. That's right.
You got to
find
out
after you pay.
You got to give to the Walker Wildman Foundation.
That's right.
Okay. Check that out.
10% of which goes to do good work around
yes,
the world.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. 90% goes to
feed hungry children.
Prop up Walker Wildman. All right. So, good morning, Steve.
Good to be here.
All right, Steve, let's go.
The Wall Street Journal, Holman Jenkins in the Wall Street Journal had a great article. It's an op-ed, actually, an opinion piece. He works for the journal. So it's an opinion piece making the case, and I believe it's an unequivocal case, that Robert Mueller should not be the guy in charge of the Trump-Russia investigation or any Russia investigation. And he lays out several reasons. Let me give a couple of them to you, and then I want to read two paragraphs from what he wrote. He lays out this. In 2010, the FBI stopped and then buried or swept under the rug a 10-year investigation into a Russian spy ring infiltrating the Clinton State Department. The FBI took up the Russian Trump dossier. I know you guys were talking about that yesterday. By the way, you said dossier. That sounds like a square dance move to me.
I think
dossier.
It is. I said, dossier?
Yeah.
It's not dossier, right?
But not only did
grab your partner.
Right, swing around.
Right.
Not only did the Clinton campaign and the Democrat National Committee fund the Fusion GPS through the end of October 16. But did you know that the FBI reportedly arranged to pay Steele, the guy that Fusion GPS, this British agent, they agreed to pay him to proceed with the intelligence gathering on Donald Trump and Russia after the election. So the FBI was still looking for dirt and more dirt. The FBI, this is the FBI, it's not the DNC, it's the FBI right. that did this. The FBI Chief James Comey, his intervention in the Hillary Clinton email matter, it is alleged, was prompted by a Russian intelligence document that his colleagues, Comey's colleagues, suspected was a Russian plant. And then before and during the Uranium One deal, which we've been talking about here, the FBI had uncovered a bribery and kickback scheme involving Russia and the U.S. nuclear business, which it never reported to Congress or to CFIUS, this group that approved the deal to give Russia 20% of the uranium in the United States. So this is what Jenkins writes in the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Mueller's tenure, may not have bridged the two investigations, but James Comey's, Rod Rosenstein's, Andrew Weissman's, and Andrew McCabe's did. Mr. Rosenstein appointed Mr. Mueller as a special counsel. Mr. Weissman now serves on Mr. Mueller's team. Mr. McCabe remains deputy FBI director. All were involved in the nuclear racketeering matter and the Russian meddling matter, which means Mr. Mueller has the means, motive, and opportunity to obfuscate and distract from matters embarrassing to the FBI while pleasing a larger part of the political spectrum. He need only confine his focus to the flimsy, disingenuous, but popular with the media accusations that the shambolic Trump campaign colluded with the Kremlin. Discuss among yourselves.
is that not the cue for the Russian music?
Right oh, there? Yeah. Oh,
this is the Russian files.
Yes, this is from the Russia files. It is.
I'll take just about
they're
anything.
They're neck deep in it.
Did you say that was Wall Street Journal?
It is.
Okay. I'm trying to find the source of that.
It's titled...
Is that going to be behind a paywall for our
Facebook? Well, it is,
Facebook
yeah. The FBI's political meddling.
Okay.
I was able to bring it up on my desk computer, but my phone wants to have... Oh, maybe I can.
Well, maybe some folks can find that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit in the first... segment, Steve, and one of the things that just seems ironic, I'm stretching this a little bit, but Robert Mueller, on behalf, basically, in my opinion, of Democrats and Hillary Clinton, wanting to examine, define Russian collusion in the 2016 election, and apparently Russia was colluding with the Democrats, the DNC, to try to influence the 2016 election by the Russians providing dirt on Trump through the intermediary of this Fusion Group and Christopher Steele.
And there are allegations that the Russians were behind the allegations, which are our friend in Peru or the Peruvian embassy and the
Assange?
WikiLeaks guys, Julian Assange, mm-hmm. says is not Russian. But the leaks of the hacks into Hillary Clinton's illegal server also, I don't think the Russians really necessarily wanted Hillary Clinton to lose or Donald Trump to lose. They just wanted to sow discord.
Right.
I think that's their only point, was to kind of throw everything up in the air and see where the pieces landed and make Americans distrust their system of elections and governments.
I think you're onto something there because... I don't know why the Russians would want dirt on a candidate they want elected. Why
would
you
want
dirt?
The accusation.
That goes with this dossier. Some of the reports say that Russia, helped collect some of the information that was included in the dossier. But if you're wanting to help a political candidate, why would you build up dirt on them?
Well, unless kind of Tom Clancy-ish, unless you provide false information for this dossier, because this information has either been discredited or is unprovable one way or the other. Maybe you make the Democrats look bad by feeding them false information that later is exposed and you embarrass them. But that's just going, are the Russians that smart? Are they that smart that they can figure all this out? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe people who sit around trying to come up with these kinds of ideas. Maybe that's just how your mind works. I don't know.
Right. Can we leave the Russians behind now?
Only if we go out of this Russia file story with the Russia file
music.
Okay,
well, Ed wants to hear it.
Yeah.
I wonder about Ed's allegiance.
My political
as
allegiance.
As much as he likes that song.
That's a man's man choir right there, my friend.
That's right.
You know, boys in that one. Our girls.
All I can say to you,
people,
Steve,
who are gender confused.
Is mood gardening.
Mood gardening to you as well.
Hey, just we don't have to dwell on this, but just a side note, I was reading from the news here. Did you know Laura Ingraham has got a new show coming up?
Yeah, on Fox.
Fox. Mm-hmm. To start this week?
I guess I'm the last to know. I know that's, let's see, next week, Ms. Ingraham, I'm reading it from the New York Times website. Next week, Ms. Ingraham. I guess she's single, not married, 53 years old, will take over one of the most coveted slots on cable television, the 9 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Eastern PM on Fox News. I'll tell you what, that's a big deal for Fox News, in my opinion.
They've been looking for someone ever since they lost Bill O'Reilly.
I really like Laura Ingraham.
Yeah.
And she is, she's consistent, I think. I haven't heard her say anything. I mean, on politics, sometimes she'll say something that I disagree with, tactically or whatever. But I think she's solid, and Laura Ingraham. I look forward to having a show with her as the host.
Yeah. Agree.
Because with you know, Fox News has lost. They lost Bill O'Reilly. They lost. Of course, he got in trouble. Sexual harassment.
Allegedly.
Sexual harassment accusations.
And allegedly Fox News paid big money. What is it, $32 million or something?
Yeah.
That was a lot of money.
They had basically, it's been a scandal at Fox News on sexual harassment against Roger Ailes, who died. He's the founder. And then later about Bill O'Reilly and Eric Boland.
Was out first, right, for sexual harassment?
Yeah.
And Eric Boland was charged with something inappropriate.
And now all of Hollywood.
Sexual harassment. I want to get back to Laura Ingraham's program in just a minute, but those sexual harassment, that's not, that's universal, you know.
It should be condemned.
Conservative men do that, and liberal men do that.
Right.
Unfortunately, to women, and that's being reported. But in Hollywood, notorious for the casting couch problem, and evidently it's not a myth; it's true.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, I think this will really bolster, don't you, Steve? The Fox News lineup. Tucker Carlson. I give them Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity.
And Laura Ingraham,
a woman, a strong conservative woman,
smart. Isn't she a lawyer? I believe she is. She's a lawyer. She's very smart. She's a tiger too.
Yeah, I don't think they could have picked anybody better.
Right.
Because I just thought to myself, if Fox News, because they Fox News has built their viewership basically appealing to conservatives.
Right.
Okay. CNN and MSNBC have built their viewership basically appealing to liberals.
Right.
Right? And
that's fair.
So, yeah. So, I think what Fox wants... Now, this doesn't mean that Fox doesn't have liberals on their shows. They do.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
And CNN does... CNN's version of what conservative is, though, is like a...
Take it from the swamp, I think.
But yeah, it's a moderate posing as a... And this is their answer to... They're one conservative on four against four liberals.
Yes.
So that's usually how CNN operates. But to Fox News credit, they usually have on, if Tucker Carlson has on a guest, he'll have on somebody that he'll either one-on-one debate that's on the left, or he'll have a person from the right and the left on an issue to discuss. So, and Larry, because it's good to have, if you're a conservative, it's good to have liberals on like Tucker Carlson do, so you can understand their arguments and refute it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and that's when you want to educate people on how to defeat an argument, you need to be able to...
And he gives his guest He gives him the floor for a couple. Tucker Carlson gives his guests the floor for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Without interruption.
He does. Without
as opposed to Bill Riley, who every 10 seconds he interrupts.
And also on the five, Juan Williams, he and the other host, they get into it sometimes for a few minutes.
Yep.
They hash it out, which I think is good.
Right. But I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't see Laura Ingraham's show her ratings go right to the top for that. For that time slot,
again, because I think a lot of the audience, Fox News audience, they don't really know who she is, except she would come on as a guest sometimes on Bill O'Reilly and stuff. Mm-hmm. They get a kind of flavor.
Know who she is, buddy.
Well, I'm just saying in terms of a television,
that's almost derogatory.
Well, I hope
Tim Wildman apologizes.
Ed Vitagliano hopes we're buddies, Tim. Well, I know we don't play golf
together. Buddy, but somebody calls somebody buddy, and it sounds like a smart aleck sometimes.
Yeah.
But no, I would just say I think a lot of Laura Ingraham's, a lot of the Fox News viewers do know her from being on their show.
Well,
you're right.
I just say as a talk show host on television, because she's on radio. She has Sean Hannity. Laura Ingraham, she's got a radio. I'm agreeing with you, buddy. that they're going to like her, and I think like you said, she's going to shoot to the top because they're going to go, this girl rocks.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
If you guys are talking in the third person, can I use the royal we?
Okay, the royal we. That means
as
yes,
they would say in France, we.
It means we. Yeah. But we think that this is a good story to talk about.
Okay, pal. Thanks.
Little buddy, old pal.
Back to the news. Steve Jordahl, it's all yours.
Our good friend George Barna is continuing to ply his trade successfully, and he has some new data out. I'm going to talk to him this afternoon about it, but I do have a little preview of what he said. And he's finding that both conservatives and liberals alike in this country have changed their shopping patterns to no longer buy products from companies that have taken an unacceptable stand on certain social policy issues. So, for conservatives, they have stopped shopping at Starbucks and Target and Wells Fargo and Disney. 48% of conservatives say they no longer get their coffee at Starbucks. 44% say they no longer shop at Target. Thank you, AFA. Liberals say 48% of them say they no longer patronize Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby and Walmart and Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo shows up on both lists.
Well, now, Wells Fargo is a liberal company. I think it's headquartered in San Francisco. Why are liberals upset with? Does this? He might not even say, but why are liberals upset with Wells Fargo?
They've had some. This may not be the reason, but something that's come up that's bipartisan. They've had some financial fraud.
Yeah.
Legal trouble.
Oh, they had they were opening all those accounts.
Yeah, fraudulent accounts.
It's not exactly a social issue, but it does.
No,
it could
put a bad taste in the mouth of people from both sides of the aisle.
Right.
See, this is. Are you through with the kind of the facts?
Let me just tell you that a net loss among those who are taking a net loss from taking a stand. In other words, they're losing money. Apple, B of A. They say Chick-fil-A, Coca-Cola, and the NFL.
The NFL, uh-huh.
Among those that are gaining from taking a stand, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and PayPal.
Hmm.
That's according to the Barna.
Well, they are linking. I don't know how Barna would know that. Hmm. I don't know how Barna would.
Let me ask them, do you shop there? Is it because of this or is it because of that? Huh.
Well, but I don't know how Barna would know, for example, Apple's one of those making money?
Yep.
I don't know how would Barna know that they're making money because they take a stand and people are. You see what I'm saying? It could be other reasons.
The same question that he asked, do you not shop somewhere? Do you shop? Do you buy Apple because they are pro-gay?
Yeah, look, buddy, you're not understanding what I'm
saying.
No,
buddy, I'm not.
Okay.
You're listening to my pal Ed.
We are not understanding the question.
Here's the thing. I don't know how someone like Barna could know why a company's going up or down. I think all this seems to be able to say is that you are apparently going to lose customers by taking a stand one way or another. Whether it affects overall your bottom line, I don't know how Barna would know that. So let me just say this.
I don't know that he's claiming that it's claiming the bottom line. I think he's just saying that
saying they're making
according to his research, 35% of liberals say liberals whose shopping choices reflect their support for a company's public stand are most likely to get behind Amazon, Starbucks, and Target.
Okay, let me set that aside and, okay. and move on, because what I do want to say is it seems clear that for a while now, some companies, some corporations have thought it is a good thing to take stand on social issues. This seems to indicate you better be willing to risk losing customers when you take a stand on a social issue.
I think that's a valid statement.
And, like we talk about Target, you want to get people back that are boycotting you. You should change your policy to one that protects women and children. Yep. And I would say the same thing to companies like Starbucks, who learned a lesson last year. Remember when they said they were going to give refugees jobs, remember?
Yeah.
And said nothing about, for example, veterans. And they got a lot of blowback. And I just think these companies ought to learn, go back to the old way, stay out of it. If you want to make your customers happy, get a good product at a good price, and keep your mouth shut when it comes to controversial issues. Mm-hmm. The same thing for the NFL.
You sell coffee, you play football, you sell widgets, football.
It's America, it's a free country. These companies can spend their money where they'd like. But if I could come up with a universal rule that applied to these companies, even companies who a CEO is conservative and maybe gives money to conservative groups, if we could just apply a rule, it would be what Ed said and stay out of it, because that's kind of a safe ground, because you start talking about folks like Amazon and Walmart and others who maybe pick sides and give money to certain groups. To me, that doesn't seem fair, because shoppers from both sides are spending money in your stores.
Michael Jordan.
And you're deciding which viewpoint in our country is more valid or not, using the other one's money.
Yes, that's right.
We designate Walker Wildman king for a day with all the powers conferred by us.
I'll get
on him
right
to,
on that.
To issue rules.
Hey, listen, I don't know if it's number one rule or it's in the top five, but you don't alienate customers.
Right. Right.
I
think that should be number one.
Yeah, well, and, Michael Jordan, the world famous basketball player, they used to. Some people used to criticize him from the left, saying, why don't you get more involved in, giving to social justice causes and things of that nature. And he said, listen, Republicans buy tennis shoes too.
Yeah.
and so basically
that's a smart businessman.
Yeah, a smart business. I don't think anybody has a problem with somebody being involved in politics or government, even a cause, on a personal level.
Right.
If a CEO for a company wants to speak at a convention for some liberal group or whatever, that's his business. But when these companies start picking, in other words, when they start picking out causes which attack groups like ours, for example, and giving money to that, then it becomes when PayPal. As a company, if the PayPal CEO wants to give money to a left-wing group, that's his own private business. But when PayPal says, we're not coming to North Carolina because they passed HB2, which protects women and children from predators in bathrooms and showers and locker rooms across the state of North Carolina, then,
PayPal is on
then
the list.
I'll use somebody else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you've chosen. You've chosen sides here, okay? Mm-hmm. So they can choose sides, we can choose sides, all right? That's the way it works. But the best scenario, as Walker says, is for companies just to sell their product and stay out of politics, all right? All right, we are out of time, says Tim Wildman. And Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, Steve Jordahl.
We thank you.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a great day, pal.